Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I'm Commander Shepard. And this is my favorite Lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more.
Welcome back to all the Commander Shepherds in the audience. This is the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm your host, Tom. Or robots, and I'm here as usual with my good buddy, N7 the Legend. N7, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm happy that it's kind of almost my favorite time of the year. Yeah. I will be working through Thanksgiving, so no feasts for me. I think we might end up just buying a pre-made one. But nevertheless, I love eating, so...
Is that why this is your favorite time of the year? Because of food?
Yes.
Yep. Oh, I thought you were going to be like holidays, Christmas cheer. No,
I love eating and drinking and being merry. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know, I think most people can get down with that. That's a pretty typical human thing.
We're all heathens here.
I think Commander Shepard would agree that those are also enjoyable things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so as well. Well, welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to all of our live viewers. I don't say that enough when we start the shows, but welcome. We are here live on Twitch. It's 10:30. I was going to say 9, but no, it's 10:30 here on Sunday nights, Eastern, 7:30 Pacific. And as usual, we're here at twitch.tv/robotsradio. Welcome to all of our live viewers and to all of those of you listening at home or at work or wherever else you are right now at a different time. So... N7, we are back with another episode about factions, and we're going in kind of a different direction today. And you told me that this was going to be a slightly shorter episode than usual. Now, why exactly is that?
That's because of who we're discussing. And this is another, you know, faction episode, but this one, there's just not as much out there about this group. You know, sure, there's fan fiction galore, but when it comes to canon lore, Eclipse are really only seen in the Mass Effect trilogy. And of that, only part of the games. So I'm not sure that we're going to get to grace our listeners' ear holes for as long this time, but we'll do our best.
Gracing those ear holes. That you got me thinking about turkey, and I'm thinking of like greasing the turkey, greasing the ear. There's something, I don't know, parallels there. But wait, so, okay, there's dozens of books and comics and stuff, but you're saying... They're not mentioned in anything other than the trilogy of games, just the first three games. That's it. There's like nothing else.
Basically, yeah, right on. The Eclipse are a mercenary gang, just like the Blue Suns that we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. But we know considerably less about them. Part of that may be due to the fact that we didn't have any squad mates with an Eclipse background in the Mass Effect trilogy, like right. We did with Zaid and the Blue Suns. But then again, you know, remember we talked about how the Blue Suns were kind of involved in the whole series since before Shepard even takes the scene in Mass Effect 1. Well, the Eclipse didn't even exist until Mass Effect 2 was released. Like, in our universe, they didn't exist. And in the game universe, it was like... Shortly after, the timeline is vague and muddled, but we'll get into that. But more or less, the Blue Suns are first mentioned in Mass Effect Revelation. Mass Effect Revelation is the first novel in the series of novels to be released. It actually came out before Mass Effect 1. So this is the timeline here. Blue Suns are mentioned in a book that comes out before Mass Effect 1. And then in Mass Effect Invasion... which is a comic released the year after Mass Effect 2 was. So, 2013. We only see a single Batarian Eclipse soldier when Omega's gangs start fighting each other after Arya leaves that asteroid. No other Batarian Eclipse soldiers are ever seen or mentioned in any other Mass Effect media, ever. Like, besides the games.
Okay. Hmm.
So, of the external media, Mass Effect Invasion is the only one. And in Mass Effect Invasion, we only see a single Batarian Eclipse soldier. That's it.
Okay, so tell you what. Why don't we dive into what we do know about them? Like, is there... It seems like it's very slim pickings then. Like, what do we know?
It is. It is very slim pickings. Well, I'll tell you what.
Hopefully our turkeys aren't slim pickings, but...
Hopefully not. Or else we might have to baste some ear holes.
Gross.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, I don't want to put a baster in my ear. That's just like, oh.
We don't know much about them, but we know that they wear yellow. And they're kind of mean.
I'm trying to think of other. I wish I was faster on the draw on this one. Well, who else wears yellow and is kind of mean?
Like Big Bird on his day off.
Big Bird when he runs out of bird seed?
He spends eight hours a day, 5 days a week being nice to everyone he meets. He just can't stand it anymore when he's off the clock and he's he's like, my patience has run fucking out.
Sunny days.
You know what, Oscar? Fuck you.
Sunny days. Get out of my face.
Go find
your own A7. That's not my letter or number for this week, bitch.
You know what, Oscar? You don't have to be such a fucking grouch all the time. How about that?
How about you get out of my trash can? That's not a house, Oscar. It's a trash can.
That's where I store my seeds.
Also, Oscar, when the trash guy comes, how come you just stay in the trash can? How come you never just end up in the garbage truck? How does that even work?
In a dump where you belong. No, but seriously, I joke because, like, we really, really don't know a lot about them. So at this point in the show, listeners are probably thinking, then what am I doing here? But we do know, for example, that they were founded as a quote unquote proactive security company. What does that mean? I'm confused hearing that proactive security company. Well, considering that they were formed with a combination of Asari and Salarian military doctrine in mind, you know, just kind of think about everything that we spoke about when it came to the Krogan rebellions and the Genophage, shortly before the Genophage was deployed. How did the Salarians treat the Krogan rebellions? How did they actually combat them? How did the prototype of the Spectres handle the situation? Well, they attacked infrastructure, right? Before they could be attacked. So they crippled infrastructure. They would cause internet blackouts. They'd cause entire like electricity blackouts. And they won by being proactive in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Captain America would have a problem with this.
Yeah, this is very much Bush's preemptive strike doctrine.
Right. Captain America says that, you know, like anytime anyone tried to prevent a war, it never went well. There's a quote like that, and like, I don't know, what is it? Like Captain America Civil War, when he's talking to Tony or something. I don't know. Somebody who knows Marvel movies better than I do can quote that.
It do be like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Do be like that. And, you know, speaking of the Salarians and preferring intelligence ops over brute force, we know that Eclipse specializes in a few clandestine areas: sabotage, assassination, and personal and organizational security. Gotta love the corporate terminology there.
Mm-hmm. Personal and organizational and all this sounds, security.
Cybersecurity. All of it sounds very Salarian, right? Sounds like a Salarian who works at Deloitte planned this whole thing. It's very hands off. It's the opposite of the Blood Pack, who we'll talk about a little bit later, not tonight, later in the show, meaning this series. But it's the very opposite of Krogan charge in head first. It's very analytical, hang back, stealth oriented, not so, you know, Brooklyn, kick down the door, shoot your partner in the face.
Right. So these guys aren't the mafia like last week.
No, these guys are more like, I don't know, who would they be? Like the Yakuza?
Yeah. I was thinking they're like one of those like crime syndicates, like one of these like Asian, like nefarious, like, are you really sure they even exist? Crime syndicates.
Like right. Triad. They're very good. Yeah. Triad. Yeah. Triad's a good one.
Yeah.
But, you know, we also know, for a second thing, we also know that unlike the Blue Suns, their founder is also the current leader. And this person's a ruthless Asari commando named Jonah Sedaris. But I tried to find out, who is she? Mm-hmm. Like, I dove into it. I looked at the, you know, wiki page, tried to find any info I could about Jonah Sedaris, and there's like nothing. You know, what's her story? I don't know. What disgraced her from military life so much that she ended up going rogue and then starting this corporation, right? So we don't know the answers to those questions. And we don't know exactly when Eclipse started.
Well, usually it's when one astral body goes slightly in front of another astral body in order to occlude the light coming from the astral body in front of the other, or behind the other astral body.
Yes. And in fact, I think they might be named after that. Wild shot in the dark. I think maybe that might be where they got their name.
Now, what would happen if you had a star of a frequency that to the average intelligent species came at a wavelength that appeared somewhere in the spectrum between maybe green and purple, and it was occluded by another astral body, like maybe a blue star that might have planets around it. So maybe somebody called it a sun.
The Blue Suns.
Oh, yeah. That's weird, huh? It's
weird. You know, that's weird how that works, isn't it?
It's weird how that works. It's weird that these two groups are...
Blue Suns.
Have something Eclipse. To do with...
It's all connected.
Have something to do with, like,
the numbers,
stars.
Mason.
They both have something to do with stars. That's weird. In a series about space.
Oh,
I'm starting to notice
crazy.
A pattern here.
Yeah. I bet, you know what? I bet that they had some cheesy nickname for this entire game before they ever settled on it. I bet it was named something like Science Fiction X.
No, that's like two on the nose, dude. There's no way.
No, it actually was, though.
No, no way.
I'm not kidding.
No,
with you.
No. Like, oh, yeah, I remember. I remember you said that before. You're right.
Yeah, they actually called it Science Fiction X. I don't think that they ever really planned on that being like a full.
Right. I remember. I remember the release you said that like three or four times on this show previously. You're right. All right. Yeah. So moving on.
So, yeah, we don't know the answers to those questions. We don't know when Eclipse exactly started, but we do know that Sedaris founded the Merc Gang in direct competition of the Blue Suns.
The name makes sense now.
Exactly. And they were already like the Blue Suns were already an established mercenary powerhouse at the time.
So they're like, they were literally like, what's a good name if we want to get in the way of the Blue Suns? And then one of the newbies on the team was like raising their, you know, like the kid in class who just like couldn't wait to get the teacher's attention, who was like, ooh, 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 ooh. And they had their hand like way up, like near the ceiling, like just waving their hand up in the air. And the teacher was like, Jonathan. What? Okay, Jonathan. And Jonathan's like, I got one. And she's like, okay, go ahead, Jonathan, go. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. The Eclipse. And she's like, yeah, that's fine. No, and he's like, no. You get it? Eclipse. You get it? Because we'd get in the way of the Blue Suns, like an eclipse. And then she go, yeah. Actually, that's kind of clever, Jonathan. And he go, I know, right?
He's like, yeah.
He's eclipse. Like, yeah. I got bonus points. I get bonus points, right, Teach? And she's like, no, but I think we might go with that name. And he's like, oh, all right, cool.
Then he leans over, whispers to his friend, That was my idea.
That was my idea. And then he looks at the girl that he has a crush on and gives her a wink. And then she still goes, ugh. And looks away, like, with him in disgust.
He's like, it was still my idea. Still a cool idea.
Still cool my idea.
So how does the new kid on the block compete, right? Because at this point, Eclipse are the new kid on the block. And Blue Suns have been there a little while. Well, the Codex tells us something. The Codex says that Sedaris, the founder of Eclipse, sought government contracts to establish market share against the better established Blue Suns. So that is like very corporate speak for basically saying Sidaris tried to get in bed with, metaphorically speaking, although maybe literally too, maybe, who knows, tried to get in bed with some members of parliaments across the galaxy, and say, hey, you know, you could really use our services in this project that you're doing there and this project that you're doing there. Mm. And sooner or later, you know, Sidaris is doing this with a plan because the Blue Suns haven't been doing this. The Blue Suns, if you remember, are trying to market themselves to commercial industries at the very beginning. Anyway, they're trying to market themselves to, you know, as protection against pirates, basically. And governments are not hiring them. Commercial enterprises are, but governments are not. And then eventually, you know, after Zaid exits the picture, that's not what the Blue Suns are doing at all. They're probably getting, you know, knee deep in the Batarian slave trade. So governments want nothing to do with them.
That's not a good image, being knee deep in a slave trade, because like you're like piling humans in cargo ships.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not a good image at all.
Not good PR. So, you know, there's a claim to fame, you know, so what is the Eclipse claim to fame when they're trying to stand out? I guess if they're trying to stand out, if they're like trying to recruit people and they're like, hey, you should come to the Eclipse, then their claim to fame is that Sidaris's mercs retook several space stations captured by this abolitionist group named the Anhur People's Liberation Army, and then neutralized that People's Liberation Army leaders. Eclipse's marketing team has like rode this rock until they can't anymore. Like, they've touted the victory endlessly, likely trying to look bigger, badder, more influential than the Blue Suns.
Well, I mean, that's kind of their modus operandi. That's a fun thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. What is on her? Because that sounds weird, but it's not spelled the way it sounds. It's A-N-H-U-R. We've talked about this before, right? But...
Well, actually, we haven't. We haven't discussed this before. This is brand new. And just hold that thought, because we will dive into what exactly Anhur is and why they have a People's Liberation Army and how Eclipse fits into that. But as far as the services that Eclipse actually provides, we kind of touched on that with the, you know, with talking about Blue Suns and, you know, what they do. But with Eclipse, they can range from mech repair to open warfare, but, you know, really, really clandestine things like assassination are reserved for high priority company goals. For instance, pairing that with the Salarian doctrine, they would probably use that with preemptive strikes against pirates who were pestering, you know, government ships or something like that, rather than just murdering someone's wife or husband for insurance money.
Okay, so this is like a sibling rivalry. This is like the Blue Suns are like the big brother who's like the cool successful one, and Eclipse is like, I'm just as good, right? Like, I could do this, I could be cool.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, I'm not so sure if it's because they were written into the game later in real life, or because their rise to prominence in the Milky Way happens later, like in universe. But regardless, I think it's fair to say that Eclipse is living in the shadow of the Blue Suns.
That's ironic.
Yeah, I stayed up late thinking of that one.
That's a good one. All right. Well, on that wonderful dad joke note, it's time to go talk to our patrons and do some housekeeping stuff. So stay tuned, because we'll be right back with some more shadow movement of solar bodies. So, yeah, here we go.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com.
Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Ahoy there, ye landlubbers. Avast, my name is Captain Logan, and I'll be your guide out on the Sea of Thieves. If you love the idea of stealing treasure, cutting down cursed skeletons, fighting off krakens, and raiding forts filled to the brim with shinies, then Sea of Thieves is the game for you. Join me each week as I dive into the news and bring back the nuggets of information that any sailor worth their weight in salt would desire. You don't have to be a pirate legend to gain access to my podcast. Just search for Keelhauled, a Sea of Thieves podcast in your podcast app of choice, or head over to robotsradio.net or captainlogan.podbeam.com and get ready to set sail for adventure. Arr.
All right. Here we are in the middle of the show, and my camera is being weird, but I will be right here. And oh, and I'm back. And yeah, this is how live shows go. Sometimes you just got to juggle some stuff. But we're here in the middle of the show. This is the part of the show where we get to thank our patrons, including our brand new patron, Larry, who is our new N7 level patron who just signed up a few days ago. Welcome to the Patreon, Larry. Hope you're enjoying it in here. You've got a nice comfy spot. You can just put your your coat down, you know, take your shoes off, get comfy. Thank you for supporting the show, and thank you to everybody who supports the show. You guys are awesome. All 42 of you. That is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. So hey, congratulations on hitting that number. That's you. Thank you so much, PFA Paulo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, but you're currently in live chat. Thank you for supporting us. That's awesome. I hope you enjoy all the stuff that you're getting from being a patron, including ad-free episodes, episodes early. You get to join us on the live chat show that's going to happen in just 1 week. We're 1 week away, and we've got some discussions to do about what we're going to talk about. N7. There's been some talk about what we're going to talk about on, that's kind of redundant, on the Patreon chat show, including maybe who we would choose to be in our Mass Effect movie. I think that's a fun topic, or trivia hot seat for us, the hosts, but we know who's going to win that one. That seems like a pretty obvious one. You're muted.
100% you.
Yeah, obviously. Definitely I you. Would. Yeah, unless the questions are actually about Mass Effect.
If they're about any other game, then I'm toast.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you about that. I think casting the movie would be a really fun one. I think.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that would be a really fun topic, but we can talk about that on the Discord. So join us on the Robots Radio Discord and chime in about what we're going to be talking about next week at this time. Next week, so chime in about that. And if we've done anything to help you get through your work week or your commute to work or working out or whenever you listen to your podcasts, then please consider going to patreon.com/MassEffectLoreCast and checking all tiers out. And you know, maybe you'd like to help support the show. That would be awesome. We'd really appreciate it. Also, we have a new review, and this is a real quick and easy one. This one came in from Crappy QR. I love the name, in Germany, who wrote in last week and said, best podcast for Mass Effect lore. 5 stars. Keeps me happily immersed in the Mass Effect world on my long work commute. Perfect. What a perfectly succinct review. So thank you so much for taking the time to drop a review in Apple Podcasts. And these, I always mention this, but these help a ton. Telling your friends, taking the time to review the podcast, all of that stuff really does help a lot. So thank you so much. And let's see, anything else on the list for the mid-show stuff? I think other than that, there's the contest. We've got just this last week, most of this last week before we have to pick a winner for our contest. We've only had a few submissions for our Impression of Commander Shepard contest. So this is not a hot competition. A lot of people, I guess, don't think they sound like Commander Shepard. It doesn't have to be a spot on impression. You just got to give it a real go. And who knows, maybe the funniest one will win, because this just is going to come down to our shadow broker picking a winner. It's going to be whatever they choose is their favorite. So maybe you just add a little bit of spunk, you add a little bit of flavor, and all you have to do is record yourself saying, "I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel," as if you're Commander Shepard. So yeah, everyone hates their own voices, but you're doing an impression, so it's not actually your voice, right? You can do an impression. Can you do an impression of anything other than your own voice, N7?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Here, just pick, I could do one right now.
Someone else. Just pick another voice.
I gotcha.
All right.
Ah, yes, the Batman.
Is that good?
Do the message as Batman.
Oh, okay.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
that was turned into like old man Batman.
that was elderly Bane.
Oh, elderly Bane.
Oh, he was just wondering why.
You gotta use a glass.
I don't have a glass. I've got
the
my
echo
cup.
Of the glass cup. Is really.
Oh, yeah. Batman! I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
How was that?
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, or you can do like the Joker. Yeah, like. I just do things.
Yeah.
And by Joker, I mean Heath Ledger's Joker, of course. There's no other.
There's only one. Sean Connery doing Batman. Yeah, we could do this forever, but we've got to get to the rest of the show. So yeah, just send us your best impression. Anything at all, really. You might win. You never know. And then you get to join us on next week's episode. So and all you have to do is log into the Robots Radio Discord. It's really easy to get in there and just drop a little MP3 file in the Mass Effect Lorecast channel, and we'll see if you win. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
So, okay, so this part of the show, the second half, is normally where we would talk about how the faction rose to prominence. But, as you said before, it sounds like this group was eclipsed by other Merc groups.
Mm. But yeah. I wrote that, and I'm not proud of it. I wrote that joke, and yes, it did take me all night to think about it. But to answer that question, yes, they do get outshined on the battlefield. By the way, I'm going to keep making puns. They do get outshone. Outshone?
Shown. Sure.
Outshone on the battlefield by Blue Suns Mercs.
Why not?
Who are their rival, which I saw like in lore, they are specifically called their rival. So it's not debatable. Like, they are their rival. Like, it's not just like, oh, they kind of hate them. They are their rival. And it's interesting because it's color scheme wise as well. You know, blue and yellow.
Yeah. Opposite colors. Yeah.
So, not surprising. It also makes me wonder if Eclipse was written for that express purpose. Like, hey, the Blue Suns need a rival. What should we call them? Eclipse. Make them yellow.
That's a good one. Yeah.
So, I'm thinking that might have been their entire origin story in the BioWare development room. I have no idea. I wasn't there for that. But in general, Eclipse favors stealth and intelligent ways of conducting battles. I say intelligent because they must not be that intelligent, given what we've seen in the games. But,
well, they're tryharding.
They're trying. Apparently not well enough, but they're trying.
They're trying.
Gold star for Eclipse.
They get points for effort.
They uh, they And even though they're trying, they still can't seem to live up to the reputation of the Blue Suns, because the Blue Suns are apparently famously more disciplined in battle. But they make up for this, dearth of discipline with bleeding edge gear and an extensive use of biotics, which is why you will face so many Eclipse commandos. My thought there is that Jonas Sedaris, being an Asari commando herself, has kind of like a soft spot in her heart and wants to fill her ranks with other Asari commandos.
Well, you do what you know, right?
Right. So, right.
That would make sense.
And they tend to be the hardest Eclipse enemies aside from the mechs. A part of me thinks, too, that they try to battle that stigma of being not as good as the Blue Suns through sheer brutality. Because, you know, we're the baddest is a thing that that's a thing that criminal organizations seem to pride themselves on.
That's what they all say. Whenever I hang out with criminal organizations, there's always that's the second thing they say. The first thing is, who are you? And then you introduce yourself and they go, oh, okay, we're the baddest. Then they make sure you know that.
Right.
That's always
right.
Number two. Yeah.
I once ate a bowl of nails without any milk.
You're like, oh, okay. I get it. You're the baddest. And then the third thing is, what are you doing here? And then you explain what you're doing there. And then you have your nefarious feelings and that you just kind of go on. That's what I always go through. I don't know about you, but that's usually how things go for me.
So they are pretty nefarious because their recruits are rumored to be required to successfully commit a murder before they can even be given their uniform. So like to wear that Eclipse uniform, you have to be a murderer.
So this sounds a lot more like a gang than a like actual organization, like a legitimate like corporate entity.
It's terrifying too because they're getting government contracts. And despite Eclipse controlling nearly 20% of Omega's real estate and accounting for a similar portion of the entire asteroid hub's smuggling traffic, they really aren't as involved in Mass Effect's significant events like you'd expect. You know, not like the Blue Suns are, but like that's not to say that they do nothing.
Right. Okay. So what do they have their like sneaky little paws in?
They have much less of a variety of phalanges than the Blue Suns do, because as the Blue Suns were staffed by, you know, Batarians, Turians, humans, Krogans, the Eclipse are actually only Asari, Salarians, and humans. So not a wide variety of phalanges, probably cheaper glove costs is what I would expect, but some robot hands too, because they do use a ton of mechs. But I digress. We see Eclipse as generic stand-in bad guys in a number of scenarios, right? Primarily in Mass Effect 2, when they're introduced. Garrus's mission on Omega, you know, when he's posing as Archangel and you go and pull his ass out of the fire, recruiting Samara and Thane on Ilium. Thane's recruitment mission, one of the more famous ones in Mass Effect 2, because it's just totally badass, going up that tower and then getting your assassin at the very end. All of those bad guys were Eclipse, and then including the guy that Shepard can throw out the window.
Okay. Right.
So all of those people were murderers, so you shouldn't really feel bad about killing them, I suppose.
I never feel bad when I kill a murderer.
Yeah, I mean, it's an everyday occurrence for sure. And we should give them some fair credit because they also appeared in the DLC, in one of the DLCs in Mass Effect 2, posing as personal bodyguards for the rich guy that Kasumi liked to rob. Donovan Hawk. So they were also working as personal guards for him, but you may not have recognized them then because they were wearing black armor instead of their usual yellow.
Right. Which is sneaky. I mean, if you're going to be sneaky, then
I mean, it was a black tie event.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like if everybody knows you wear yellow and you want to make sure they don't know who you are, then the first thing you do is you change the color. It's brilliant.
Yep.
It's a brilliant plan.
But make sure to wear your logo, too.
Yeah, right.
Which is what they do.
Right.
We're the fancy Eclipse, not the other murderers. We're like, we're the black tie party,
right?
Eclipse,
right?
But you know, first let's go back and talk about the on her thing,
on her people,
the on her people's liberation army
thing. I just stop at the people part because that's where it sounds dirty.
on her, I don't even know her. Okay, that's such a dumb old joke.
So I don't know. I've never heard about this. So what exactly happened? Eclipse helped take out some liberation army?
Yeah, kind of. But we need to back up and understand some context, as per usual, right? And to do that, we're going to go to one of Sam's favorite places in the game, Planet Cards. That's right. I bet you all thought I forgot about those. Well, I didn't. And guess what? Here's a completely relevant one that I bet you've never even heard of. Anhur is a garden world, colonized in 2165 and located in the Amun system of the Eagle Nebula, in case you want to go in your games and find it yourself. And according to the planet card, I'm just going to read from the planet card here real quick. A garden world with heavy populations of humans and Batarians. Anhur was home to one of the ugliest violations of sapient rights in modern human history. A consortium of corporations and corrupt politicians, fearing Batarian economic competition due to their custom of legal slavery, passed a resolution that abolished the minimum wage, effectively re-legalizing slavery on a human-dominated world. Opponents of the motion quickly turned to activism and violence. A civil war erupted as one side sought to end slavery throughout the system, and another, primarily Batarian faction called the Nahisit, sought to keep the slaves they had. The Anhur rebellions raged from 2176 to 2178. The Nahisit had a significant advantage in ships, labor, and weapons, forcing the Anhur militias to hire mercenary companies to even the odds. And, according to the Codex, Jonah Sedaris's agency scored a galactic PR coup by retaking several space stations captured by the Anhur People's Liberation Army, the abolitionists, and neutralizing their leaders. And this was a victory Eclipse's marketing team never stopped trumpeting. So the claim to fame that Eclipse parades around Mercenary Town, they're actually bragging that they fought successfully on the side of slavery.
Uh-huh. I love that. I love that in the future, gangs have PR and marketing parts of their organizations.
Right. Yeah. They're so focused on their public image that they're like, hey, we're not just murderers.
Right. This is the part of the company. Let me show you around the company. This is the part that makes the guns and handles the guns and organizes the guns and the shooting stuff. This is the part that trains the people that do the shooting stuff. This is the part that takes the personnel off the streets, gives them the guns. This is the part that handles the news agencies.
The PR guys are constantly doing this. They're doing one of these. I cannot recall.
right. Or like, hey guys, quiet down over there. Quiet down. No gunfire right now. I'm on with CBS, NBC, and CNN. Stop with the gunfire and the yelling for a minute. I don't know anything about that.
Exactly. They're just lying through their teeth the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
So the slaver faction won because of Eclipse in this specific situation.
So thankfully, no. The planet card does go on to say that, you know, quote, in the end, the abolitionists won out, though it was at the cost of much of their infrastructure, probably those space stations included. Though Anhur today still has significant natural wealth, it is economically depressed except for the reconstruction industry. So they won out, but it was, you know, a brutal war. Mm-hmm. And one that was fought over slavery, and it had to be sometime after 2165 because that's when the colony was established. And it was both humans and Batarians living there. So that probably did absolutely nothing to help ease tensions between humanity and the Batarian hegemony.
Okay. And they've kind of, and then they just kind of wedged themselves in here and then took this as like a PR win.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Eclipse kind of just saw a conflict and decided to make a ton of profit off of it. They went in, they killed abolitionist armies that had seized control of some space stations. And then they said, hey, look at how awesome we are. Mm-hmm. And then everyone with any grain of morality was like, what?
Right. I got a plan, guys. We're going to go in here. We're going to do some shooty shooties. We're going to take over some stuff. We're going to make out with all the goods. And then we're going to be like, look what we did. We're the good guys. And then everyone's like, wait, what?
So my guess here is, and this is a guess, this is kind of an educated guess because there's no lore to back this up. But what we do know about the Blue Suns, Zaid gets edged out by Vito because of the Batarian slave trade. Because Vito thinks that's going to be a lucrative thing for the company to do. And then Eclipse jumps in this confrontation on the side of the slavers.
Right.
So it kind of sounds like they're trying to edge out their competition, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds like they're picking the other side. Or
yeah, they're trying to make nice with the slavers.
Right. They're joining the competition.
So I'm thinking if the Blue Suns have investors in the Batarian hegemony who are slave traders, and then they look pretty good to the slave traders because they're like the largest criminal professional organization helping them, and then all of a sudden here comes this Eclipse and they go in and save the day for all of these Batarian slave trader investors.
Right. Yeah, like
it looks better now.
Now you got competition.
That's, I think, where the PR coup comes in, even though the game's codex does not specify that.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of me drawing the connecting the dots there.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes it a lot harder for a business to choose which other business to do business with. I just said business 3 times in a row. 4 times because I just mentioned it in saying that. That's what businesses do 5 times. They create competition with each other. So they probably saw this as like, hey, they've got a monopoly on this. Why don't we go in and show that there is legitimate competition in this space? We'll show them what we can do. And even if we pull, 20% of the business away from them, now we are reducing, what they're getting from this. We're starting to pull some profits from it. It's like we don't have to, it's killing two birds with one stone is what's doing. It's reducing their competition's income while gaining income from them for themselves, rather than gaining income from somewhere else while their competition is still benefiting from this one spot. Right. So,
yeah,
I can see that
it's
as being
huge.
A justification. Yeah. And it was an easy opportunity for them. So they knew exactly what they needed to do. They had the ability to do it. And, it was right in their wheelhouse. They're like, hey, we could just step right in here, do the thing we're good at, make bank on it, and
look like the good guys to the investors
and make them think twice about who they're going to for these services. This was so easy for us. And if the Blue Suns had recently messed up something that looked very similar to this, then all of a sudden they're going to think twice about who they hire next time.
Right on. I couldn't have said it, better myself. And I think we're kind of on to something there, even though the lore, again, did not specify what we just said. That's kind of speculation. But this is such huge, this whole event, an entire world falls into a civil war because the government effectively legalizes slavery after abolishing the minimum wage. And people die. Like people organize, these activists organize, they form armies, they die, they go to war. Mm-hmm. And you have these mercenary groups who have no stake in the matter whatsoever coming in and just messing stuff up. And you have large numbers of people dying on both sides, and it's heinous, and it's apparently one of the worst violations of sapient rights in the modern history of this galaxy. And yet it's such a huge event that is hidden in a seemingly insignificant place in the game, right? On a planet card.
Yeah.
So my guess, most players don't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. You know, I have to wonder, you know, with all the rumors about where the next game's going, what's going to happen with it. I read an article today where they were like, yeah, we interviewed Mark Meer and he said he's totally open to doing another one, but he doesn't know what's going to happen. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you know, like all of that stuff. Right. But like, there's so much of this kind of stuff that I'm sure is on the cutting room floor that if they just pick this stuff up and like hand over to like this next generation of writers, and they're just like, by the way, we've got all these threads, you know, like,
right
here you go.
Like,
just take these threads and just like draw them out into the next game. And
right.
These may not be main storyline threads, but it's a whole bunch of side quests, it's a whole bunch of like character quests. It's a whole bunch of stuff that you can just like pull into the next game. Have fun.
Even journal entries, like you can find journal entries that explain more about what happened. And then like those longtime fans of the series, like myself, will appreciate the callbacks a lot because of like, hey, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This like, is what
I wonder if anyone else remembers
or
that.
This character is descended from this character and they, you know, they took on leading this organization and, you know, they went a different direction from their parents because of this reason or, you know, like that's. Oh, I get it. Oh, it makes sense. You know, like people love that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it for Eclipse. You know, I already said that they were heavily involved in a few of the high profile missions that I think we all played. Thane's recruitment mission, Garrus's recruitment mission, Samara's. And of course, in Mass Effect 3, you can recruit Eclipse to become part of the war effort. But it's a really short quest line and it just results in a higher number for your galactic readiness. Yeah. So we haven't really given many game guides yet. I'm thinking maybe sometime in the distant future we'll do some episodes where we like to talk about some strategies in the game, but for this one I wanted to stick to just the lore about what we know and what we don't know for Eclipse, and that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, so next week we have the patron chat coming up, but after that, where are we headed with lore episodes?
So I'm thinking that we are going to take this faction series to the Blood Pack, who I mentioned. And then since we've been talking about lawlessness for a pretty long time, I think about a month, why don't we switch gears and discuss C-Sec? Because C-Sec is definitely a faction. They're heavily involved in a lot of things throughout the galaxy, not just in the Citadel, but its agents like Garrus leave and they go on to do better things. So I think we'd be remiss if we didn't discuss C-Sec. And then somewhere on the horizon, I think we're going to have to address the Krogan clans. Maybe that will be one episode unto themselves, because those are factions as well, even though they don't have much influence outside of Krogan space. And of course, we can't forget about all of the factions of Andromeda, who arguably the factions in Andromeda are more influential, more important, more impactful to that storyline. So we'll be addressing all of those things in the coming weeks. But first, I'm really excited about that patron chat.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like we've got some plans for December. And one of the other things that keeps on getting noted in the news is that, especially for this next game that they're working on, that Andromeda will not be forgotten, that things that happen in Andromeda are still going to, you know, be important for the series, that it is canon. So, you know, that information will still be part of this show. So all of that still pertains. So at least that's where we're going with it. So, all right. Well, this has been super fun. Thank you for tuning in. And we're looking forward to talking with all our patrons next week. We've got a full house, hopefully. Lots of you guys signed up. So this will be a lot of fun. And do you have anything else you'd like to share? Anything you're working on or ways people can get a hold of you?
Well, I'm working on increasing the production quality of my streams. And so I'm excited about that. It's now officially my weekend, so I'm going to be pouring some time into that. And I'm going to be resuming my streams. I heard that Streamlabs has done something with Twitch for Xbox where I might be able to complete my stream of my Mass Effect 3 playthrough. Where actually it's a whole trilogy playthrough, so it'll be the culmination of a lot. But I might be able to complete that. And if I can find a way to transfer my save from Mass Effect Legendary Edition so that I can play it on PC or maybe stream it on PC. Mm-hmm. And then stream that stream.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's getting convoluted. But regardless, the point is, I'm going to be streaming Mass Effect. Give me a follow on Twitch at N7TheLegend. And follow me on Twitter as well. I'll send out notifications on Twitter. I am terrified about Twitter, by the way, because I have forgotten my password
My
Twitter. And I can't remember my password for my email that I used to set that up either.
Uh-oh.
And with Gmail, when you can't remember the password for that, it's like sayonara. So I might have to create a new Twitter at some point, which would really suck. But not the case yet. So for now, give me a follow on Twitch. Give me a follow on Twitter. And I'm on Instagram as well.
Awesome. Well, good luck with that. I hope you get that straightened out, because that sucks. Yeah. Oof. Good luck. Yeah. Oh, man, that would be terrible. I would hate to lose all the work I put into a Twitter account. So, yeah, that sucks. But yeah, first of all, we've got all the different podcasts on the Robots Radio Network at robotsradio.net. So check all that stuff out. Of course, you can check out most of my stuff on all the different lore casts. So, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Cyberpunk, The Witcher. And Witcher Season 2 is coming out very soon. We're recapping Season 1, and I'll be back tomorrow night as we continue recapping Season 1. So that's going to be super awesome. So excited about Witcher Season 2, man. That if you haven't seen that on Netflix, go check it out. Such a good show. And then I'm streaming, of course, in the mornings. I missed a lot of last week due to migraines and things, but I'll be streaming on the Robots Radio YouTube channel. You can just search Robots Radio YouTube. It'll come right up. And every morning during the week, I stream over there. I've been playing Skyrim Anniversary Edition, jumping back into Skyrim. I've been modding the crap out of it. Right now, I have it looking like Borderlands, which is hilarious. And it's been a lot of fun. We're doing extreme roleplay in the stream, so come on over, join me in the mornings. I've been doing a lot of mod videos too, so if you're into modding Skyrim and you want some cool mods to check out some videos on that channel. And what else do I have going on? I feel like I've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm putting a lot of YouTube videos out, doing a lot of things, guys. It's been busy over here in Robots Land. Oh, I also put my book out. So I took all the things I've learned from podcasting and turning it into a full-time career for myself, and I created a book. I took all the info in this brain of mine, all the things I've learned over the years, created a book, and you can go check it out at robotsradio.net/book, and it's called Video Game Podcasting. So anybody who wants to get into podcasting can check out that book. You can purchase it. It is for sale. It's a digital download. It's easy to get. Two Girls, One Ship says it's a great book. Well, thank you. It's available for everybody. It has everything you need to get into podcasting, and not only get into podcasting, but also learn from the things that I learned the hard way so that you don't have to make all the mistakes I made in getting your podcast up and running and also being successful with it. So if you're interested in that, go check it out. So that's what I got going on. And I think that's about it. So many fun things going on. Just we love you guys. We love the community here, and you guys make all of this so worth it. So thank you for being a part of our community. And I could go on forever talking about how awesome you guys are, but we've got to get going, and we'll see you guys next week for the Patreon episode. So until then, stay safe out there. We'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
My name is Brian Burton. It's been 26 years since the bombs fell. Since I've left the vault, I've been trying to rebuild. But this isn't the Appalachia that I remember. There's so much more to everything going on. And I promise to find the answer. So if you're out there, if you're listening, just hone in on these coordinates. Remember, there's a place for you at the end. Omega. The Omega Broadcast Fallout Story is available on iTunes, Spotify, and many great podcasting sources.
Looking for an RPG podcast that isn't just D&D?
Roll to Cast is the answer!
No, wait, sorry. What games have we played so far?
Well, we've done Cyberpunk 2020.
What does it mean to have a voice?
And there's going
to
be something big coming, Chumba.
Hey, if you're listening, I won. I beat you. You suck.
There was a time when we were slamming things against our phones and...
Vampire the Masquerade.
Chloe, Sam.
You can't use those words!
He's going to grab Vincent, press him against the wall.
I mesmerize him.
This is Adelaide's Anarch movement.
First out of your chair, your hand goes to your gun and you draw.
Pulp Cthulhu.
Told you I had it.
Oh, we've all got the creeps going. I love it so much.
All right, there.
Screechy child.
My favorite daughter.
Maybe after what we just seen, we're feeling a bit trigger happy.
And the new Cyberpunk Red.
Babe, you're good,
but better.
Thought maybe you might be able to give me a counter off.
Dos Fidania.
Straight through his neck.
I don't see bone either, but I'm not gonna look.
My leg's fine.
I always knew you wanted to fly, kid. Come find me.
Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
A new game every season.
Original music.
Original stories. Interviews with the creators.
And delightful Aussie accents.
Listen to us on all good podcatchers.
You can support us on Patreon for bonus content.
That's Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
Come discover a new world.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.